can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepard on a Monday, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Of course, Rick Ocasek dying
of
the Cars, age 75. We had Eddie Money go on, was it Thursday or Friday?
Yeah. Friday.
Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. Are these things going threes? I mean, who's next? We're looking around. I mean, somebody from the Rolling Stones, although they're on tour. I mean, I'm just spitballing. I probably shouldn't do that. It seems like bad karma.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't just throw names out randomly.
Well, when we, I will say this, I'm not proud of this, but back in my early days of radio, we in the news department did have a pretty lengthy death pool.
You had a Deadpool?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, somebody...
Did you win?
I think I did once. I can't remember.
Very melancholy.
Now, how do you feel when you win?
Dirty. Dirty.
Dirty.
Messy. Like I said, I'm not proud of it. It was like 25, 30 years ago. I did not initiate it. It was in the newsroom. And
you dirty, filthy boy, you.
Yeah. But it happens. Celebrities, you know, go all the time. It's a sad deal. All right. When we're going to... So our sound deal is working? We're good? We had an abbreviated sound streak.
It's spotty. As
can
of
we
now.
Try it after the rundown? I would like to get into some more things that we have on here.
Yeah, we can try it. We can try anything.
All right, we'll try that. We'll move post-game from the Dolphins and Patriots. We've got new news. AB's lawyers. We'll have all of that. Stay with us here. It's time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
All right, going into, well, sorry, let's close out week two of the NFL season first. Tonight, the Jets host the Browns. Coverage starts at 7:30 on 99.3 ESPN. Kickoff at 8:20 on ESPN. Pat Shurmur not committing that Eli Manning will be the Giants starter week three when they're in Tampa, by the way. But Brian Flores said, as of now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starter for the Fins when they go into Dallas next weekend, and Drew Brees done for 6 weeks.
Oh my God! Now we're the text.
I knew this was going to happen.
People have death pools in work. I thought that was just a sick media thing.
Tiz recently won my office death pool with Stan Lee.
Oh gosh!
Jay Late Dollar Short says Rod Stewart is next.
Who announced he's been fighting cancer for the last 3 years privately?
Unbelievable!
Wow!
All right, Darren Heitner, who is the he's the attorney for Antonio Brown because the Sports Illustrated article that came out today. Here it is. Antonio Brown has reviewed the sexual misconduct allegations made by an unnamed artist included in a...
This is a second woman, by the way, in case you're not following.
An unnamed artist included in a recently published Sports Illustrated article and denies that he ever engaged in such activities. There will be no further comment at this time. Scott, about what I expected.
Good statement from a lawyer.
Now, remember, he's meeting today, allegedly, with numbnuts at 345 Park Avenue. And they're all supposed to
be
there.
With the first accuser.
Brittany Taylor is supposed to be there. And I think one other person that Florio pointed out that is now a rookie in the NFL who allegedly witnessed one of the sexual assault is supposed to be interviewed today as well. So who the hell knows? He could be suspended before we get off the show. Or they might take their sweet old time and wait a month. I don't know.
If they find her believable and they have a witness as well... Man, you got to put him on the exempt list. It's going to be one and done for AB and your Patriots.
I've been saying that all along. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. I also wouldn't be surprised if they let this linger for a few weeks.
Yeah. You just never know.
You don't know. I really don't know what to expect.
All right. So
I told you what I would do. I'd cut his ass right now.
They came out, cruise control. They used him. A very surgical, methodical, time-consuming drive against the Dolphins. They threw to AB three times.
Wide open.
I'm overall, what, four catches and a touchdown?
Four catches and a touchdown, 56 yards, I think, yeah.
All right.
And he had, my favorite, I forgot to be a favorite, my most interesting play to him was the end around. He got for 5 yards. He hadn't carried the ball. What did that stat? I think six years, something like that.
That's just Bill being Bill.
Well, they all do that. A lot of those guys, a lot of receivers always have end arounds.
Yeah.
But it's surprising that it went to him. But should you be surprised?
No.
No.
All right. So, again, the Dolphins continue to be historically bad. Get shut out big time by the Patriots after their debacle in week one as well. They are 21 point
underdogs in Dallas. The Dolphins are on Sunday, and Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the starting quarterback again, according to Brian Flores. You mentioned that today.
Or now. Here's Tom Brady afterward. He was not necessarily looking to get Antonio Brown early, but did so.
I didn't think about it. I was just trying to throw to the open guy, and he was there and got him on the over route. They blitzed up the middle. Then I got him on the out cut when they played post safety. And then, just trying to – that's what I'm going to try to do all year, just throw it to the guy that's open.
Now, I actually believe that.
There's one guy you can actually believe because he's not the kind of guy. They're not going to force him the ball. They're not going to force him the ball if you're not open. He was wide open. I couldn't believe how wide open he was.
You're not going to go. You're not going to continue to go after Xavien Howard, who did a pretty nice job on Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
He really did.
Oh, I absolutely did.
So who are you left? You're left with Edelman, who was kind of matched up more on Rowe, it seemed, than it was on, is it Wiltz?
Yeah.
Wills?
And then, it was good. Was Lacoste. Lacoste had a couple of catches, a third string tight end, a backup tight end. He had a couple of catches.
Yeah. I said this in all seriousness at the beginning of the show. I think Brian Flores should get kudos, even though they got beat 43-0 yesterday, after a week in which we heard nothing but media reports of players wanting out of there, the ones that were still left behind, because the team is devoid of talent. And I thought, wow, They're just going to give up. Now, 43-0 looks like they gave up. I think they tried.
Two pick sixes. Yeah.
I thought they gave good effort out there. I thought they came ready to play to the best of their ability, which, again, is not on the same planet as the Patriots.
Yeah, I will concur.
There's no talent.
At least in the first half was 13. I mean, you kind of got the feel. I mean, it's just the Dolphins just ran so many negative offensive plays. You kind of got the feeling early on they were going to get blanked. But you give them credit. I give the defense credit in the first half. There was 13-0. And, the offense gave up two touchdowns. So the offense gave up 29 points. Of course, you're throwing Gostkowski missing a stupid field goal and two extra points.
Well, he does that, as we've chronicled on this show.
Yeah.
Any player, any kicker that's put on a Patriots helmet is sucking right now.
Right.
Adam Vinatieri is thinking about retiring today. He was so bad yesterday and in week one for the Colts. Here's Brian Flores afterward. He says, we played hard for 60 minutes.
I thought they played hard for 60 minutes. We were there, for a half, maybe two and a half quarters, and then we couldn't get anything going offensively. I thought, it's a good team, and we just didn't do enough.
Meanwhile, elsewhere, a couple of big stories around the NFL, in case you didn't know. Ben Roethlisberger is out for the year, going to have surgery on his elbow. Drew Brees, the other quarterback, going to be 6 weeks minimum with a thumb surgery coming, stretched out ligaments. But that's not the most memorable thing of the Saints-Rams game yesterday out in Los Angeles. There was, I think it was 3-3 at the time. Mm-hmm. It was tight. Cameron Jordan scoops up what he thought was a fumble.
It's 3-0.
Well, it was a fumble. Was it 3-0?
Yeah, because they kicked the field goal that made it 3-3. I don't believe they ever had the lead.
So, an official panic, blew a whistle thinking it was a golf incomplete pass. You're supposed to, your coach to let that play go if you're an official. He didn't, and so the whistle blew. Meanwhile, Cameron Jordan scoops up the ball 80 yards and goes for the touchdown, but no touchdown. They said, look, we had the inadvertent whistle. We did rule it a fumble. The Saints do get the ball, but back at the 20, you don't get the touchdown. Afterward, Cameron Jordan says... he remembered the blown fumble call.
I mean, I didn't even hear the whistle. I grabbed the ball 15, 20 yards down, and allegedly a whistle was blown. Clearly, I mean, a whistle was blown. Where normally you let the play happen, any footlocker, referee, usually tells you you let the play happen, and then you go back and review the play.
The footlocker. I love that.
I heard that this morning. Laughed my head off. Fantastic.
That's fantastic
stuff.
But he delivered it really well.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll get fined for that.
I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he will.
And I don't think he should.
And I don't think Sean Payton will either for his comments.
Well, here are his comments. Oh. Says, I couldn't fixate on the fumble fiasco.
Listen, we can't focus. The things we can control as coaches are the things that I just alluded to. When we get poor officiating or we get an awful call like that. We can't control that. So our focus this week is going to be on cleaning up the penalties and making sure we got the right guys on the field, too.
He, by the way, signed a five-year extension to remain with the Saints. Listen, this is three games in a row in which officials – I mean, these aren't like a missed holding call. These are three egregious officiating errors, three games in a row going back to the NFC Championship, going back to the season opener last week, which cost him like 15 seconds on a play. And this week, Luke cost him a touchdown.
That, to me, is almost as bad as the non-call last year in the NFC title game. Because, I mean, this is like officiating 101. They're instructed over and over again. You don't blow the whistle. Let the play, play itself out.
Because replay can always salvage a blown call.
You don't blow the whistle, and it's ridiculous that it's allowed to happen. And I hope there's some accountability done by the whoever's in charge of Al Riveron or something, the head of the officials, to do something here.
Hmm. Meanwhile, Sunday night football game started slow, finished fast. Falcons win 24-20 over the Eagles. Dan Quinn said it was a good bounce back for the Falcons. As you remember, had a horrible game the week before in Minnesota.
All in all, I was proud of the toughness of our team. I said we'd find out a lot in the locker room last week about who we are. It was after such a difficult performance, we had told the team there's a really big difference between playing hard and playing well. And I told Jeff the game, I thought we had played hard, but we didn't play well. And so tonight, to have an ending and a finish like that with the game-winning touchdown and then to come back and get a fourth down stop for the win, I think it showed a lot of toughness, a lot of heart, and what we stand for. So it was a great win. We're proud to do it in front of our home fans. So.
Great defensive play there to hold them within about 2 inches from the first down marker, and which would have continued the game.
Great job by Mohamed Sanu on Rasul Douglas on that play, that mini pick play that allowed him to be free on that fourth and three.
But gutsy
call.
Matthews running out to lay that block out. Because, he had to get over there and get a block on a defensive back before Julio could really break that run. And that was... that was a perfectly called audible at the line.
Had Julio Jones played like that when he was on my fantasy team, I'd probably still be playing fantasy football.
I tried to tell you, he's a great player.
3 years later, thank you very much.
You're so
give me
wrong on that.
Give me the 20-mile-an-hour run down the sideline. Big deal.
The Eagles rush for only 49 yards, and the Falcons rush for...
they abandoned it.
...for 58 yards. I don't know. Both teams. I mean, it really was embarrassing. Howard was 8 for 18. Sanders 10 for 28. Smith 4 for 32. All right, he had that long 28-yarder. Yeah, but besides that, and Freeman was awful with 22 yards and 11 carries.
Smith looks like the better running back for the Falcons. The Eagles need to keep Sanders on the field. The guy is dynamic when he gets the ball in his hand. But I think it was Collinsworth said it last night, man. When you've got DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey that go out with, was it a groin and a hamstring, I think, why are you not leaning on your really good offensive line at that point and saying, all right, let's grind this game down, let's run the football, and try to get out of here with a win instead of continuing to throw the ball, leaving your quarterback hanging out to dry to get hammered throughout the game? And what is your Indiana boy doing, Craig? Nate Sudfeld on the sideline is laughing with Carson Wentz when Carson Wentz is getting beat to a pulp.
At that moment, did you all think Carson, because he just got his ribs crushed.
No, because
I thought he was out.
I thought he was. When he came off the sideline holding his ribs, I thought, oh,
but the next camera frame we saw, Nate Sudfeld's laughing it up.
Because he's injured. He got no pressure on him.
Carson Wentz told him a knock-knock joke. There's one Philadelphia fan in the building, our A.E. Sean, who said, I would have left McCown in. So they would have left him in.
McCown has now played for 9 teams.
It's quality.
And you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's thrown 8 touchdowns for 8 different teams. You got
started
McCown,
for 8 different
who's
teams.
Who's played for 9, which means he played some games where he didn't score some touchdowns. Not quite as good. Here's Doug Peterson afterwards, still proud of his team despite the L.
There's no moral victories, obviously, but I think with the resiliency of the team and what offensively we were faced with, and then, of course, the defense, we lose Tim Jernigan and, in this football game and it just sort of things began to kind of snowball a little bit. But the fact that we hung in there, we battled, gave ourselves a chance. We had the lead there, late in the game. And that's really what these games come down to. It's just a couple plays here and there that can go in your favor or the other way. And tonight they went in, their way.
All right. Plenty more to get to on week two around the NFL. I thought we'd take a moment here since I teased it last segment. We have our football drink totals that we keep track of while we're watching football. Still looking for a sponsor from a brewery out there, by the way.
Or any liquor.
Or any liquor, exactly. After 3 weeks, Pete had a commanding lead, 38 drinks to 28 for Chris. I was in third with five. So week four. Now, again, our rule is it's basically Saturday, Sunday. It's while watching football. For example, I had two drinks on Friday. I was not watching football. That does not count for my weekend total. But I did. We'll start with you guys because these numbers are going to be astronomical.
Well, I had two drinks on Friday because I was watching football. I was watching Houston and
I guess
Washington
that counts.
State. That was a fun game to watch. But boy, that's you talk about, you know, a plane that was a Reliant where the
Reliant
where your Texans played.
Right,
I mean, that place was a lot more rowdy than you sometimes hear for Texans game. They were going crazy. The place, you couldn't move in there. That was great to see. Great game, too.
I wish they would have done it at the Rice Football Stadium. It's big enough. I mean, they played a Super Bowl there once.
But it was Houston.
Huh?
It was Houston.
What?
It was the Cougars, not Rice.
Wait a minute. I thought it was the Texas Rice game was at
No, this was the Washington State. Houston.
I got you.
Washington State, Houston, yeah.
Brain cramp, sorry. A lot of football blending together at this point.
That was two. Saturday after golf. I don't know.
I thought you were going to have these tallied up and ready to go.
I got to go like...
We're not going to round
up. Well, it's 6 hours. You know, six hours.
Are we guesstimating or are we
I'm not. I got a real number.
I'm up to 10. And let's see. I'd say in yesterday it was like 4.
So that is a total of what?
Oh, like 14.
I've won!
Yeah.
I won!
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah!
You had more than that?
Hell yeah!
What does a shot count for? I had two shots, too.
Well, I had two shots as well, and I counted those as one drink.
All right.
Two shots as one drink or one each?
No, I had...
A shot as a drink.
Yeah, so I had two shots, okay. So I count that as two total.
All right. So what do you got? What's your total? You got paper.
I had two shots on Friday night.
Yeah.
I had three big boy mixed drinks for a total of six.
Okay.
Felt like crap on Saturday.
Of course you did.
Went out and got some McDonald's.
Yeah.
Invited some friends over.
Yeah.
Proceeded to drink another seven Michelob Ultra Golds Saturday.
Is this during the Alabama game?
It started during the Alabama game,
And when the Gamecocks backdoor covered at the end, how'd that go?
Threw my hat.
Yeah.
Wasn't thrilled.
You've thrown worse.
Wasn't thrilled.
Go, Will!
Followed by a slow four-beer game all during last night.
So the total?
17.
Oh, my God.
I just have to put mine at 15 because I have to count the two shots as a drink.
Right,
so 15.
All right. Here's me.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I had two Coors Lights Friday that don't count. I was not watching football.
See, I was watching football Friday night. That's why I count that.
Yeah. Good game.
I got home Friday night.
Yeah.
I don't know how Wake Forest jumped out to a 21-0 lead on the Tar Heels.
Yeah, that was a good game, too.
But Carolina, I mean, they were the better team in the second half.
With 1 second left. Yeah. And the reason was, about 2 hours later, they came out with an explanation because the guy took a step backwards out of bounds as opposed to
forward.
That's why the clock got to continue to run, which is I've never heard of that rule, ever. Mm. Another rule I never heard of.
No, I know.
Good
All
game,
right,
though.
So Saturday, went out to the garage to get my first Coors Light. Yeah, I call it an audible. I was feeling a little sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sitting on the couch all weekend. Felt like I needed some caffeine. I put the beer back in the refrigerator, got out of Mountain Dew. So I didn't start drinking.
So you're at zero.
I'm at zero. Later on that night, then I had a Coors Light, and that's all I had all weekend. Put me down for one, boys. One.
Wow.
One.
That's ridiculous.
So Pete 15, Chris 17, Craig 1.
You know what? I'll actually agree with flesh eating bacteria here. The Michelob Ultra Gold counts as a half drink because I had seven of those things and I was sober as a goat. I mean,
are goats sober?
Oh yeah.
Is that a saying?
Yeah.
Is that
sober
a real saying?
As a goat? Absolutely.
I've never
that's a
heard
saying.
That before. Pete, have you ever heard that before?
Is that sober as a pig? Was it sober as some animal?
Why are aren't all animals sober?
Yeah. No, because goats have really strong stomachs so that they
sober
can process.
As a goat. Hang on.
I think sober as a goat is a saying.
Sober as a something is a saying. I know I should know that. Sober as a judge. That's one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I like goat.
Greatest of all time.
Let's see if this is even. if that even is a saying.
Look, I'll agree with you. I had seven of them, and I stood up. I didn't feel a thing. I was fine.
All right,
I've done some quick math here.
Sober as a goat, an expression that... What?
Yeah, it's a saying.
It is a saying? It came up on Wiki?
You're darn right it is.
Yeah, it came up sober. It says an expression that Bobby made up and has no actual meaning, especially since he's the only one who uses this expression. Bobby, I'm sober as a goat.
Who's Bobby?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know who Bobby is. I just Googled it, and that's what it came up. All right.
Let me look at this.
Sober goat.
All right. While you're both doing research on radio, here we go. Here's our total after 4 weeks of drinking. Pete Shepard, 53.
That's not bad.
Chris, 45. Craig, 6.
It's just...
Are you kidding me?
6.
No.
This has gone too far.
What happened?
This has gone too far.
What?
They're blocking Urban Dictionary from me now.
Why?
Because it's a company initiative.
We need that for show research.
That's what I'm on right now on my laptop.
I got to talk to somebody about this.
Urban Dictionary's blocked?
We've got all these new restrictions on the internet around here.
That's why I use my laptop. So I got it. You're right, Chris. It's on that site. Sober as a goat. I don't know who Bobby is. I'm going to click on Bobby. Hang on.
Sober as a goat is absolutely a saying.
Bobby. Oh,
never heard that. Who knew?
And it said, when I clicked on Bobby, it said, Bobby, an insane, funny person who's nice and caring, but if you annoy him and his friends, you should hope you live near a hospital.
Sounds like me.
I don't get it.
Guys, I'm not saying that I'm some hard ass for drinking Michelob Ultra Gold.
Bobby.
I'm merely relaying what I had to drink on Saturday because I had 2 shots of my nice bourbon on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had 3 big 30-ounce Yeti mixed drinks.
Wow.
Mm.
A lot coming in. Sober as a judge. Sober as a bird.
Yeah, sober as a judge.
A bird better be sober.
No, sober as a judge.
They're flying.
Yeah. What are you talking about? They're flying to windows all the time.
That kind of freaks you out. I've seen that happen
a couple
times.
Oh, it scares you, yeah.
Couple times they shake it off and get up.
Sometimes they don't.
They don't move anymore.
Yeah, sometimes they. That was their last hoorah.
Daddy has to.
Why would they block Urban Dictionary?
I don't know.
Down too many tangents and rabbit holes there.
Marine biologist, 17 drinks in a week weekend equals 12-step program.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I'll post the big numbers on the big board when we come back.
And I thought about drinking Thursday night for the Bucks-Panthers game.
Yeah.
Which actually might have helped watch the Bucks-Panthers game because it was so terrible.
I enjoyed that game. I don't know.
What about the game did you enjoy, Craig?
I didn't.
I enjoyed that Jameis did not throw any interceptions.
Okay.
He did his job. You know what? There's a good saying with good football teams. Just do your job.
Yeah?
Just do your job.
Is that what you learned from Lions football?
Are we not undefeated right now in the NFL? Yes or no?
Yes. What's your winning percentage? Is that 750 winning percentage?
I'm not sure how that works.
I hate to tell you this. As the new polls are out, the new rankings are out. There are 6 Pac-12 teams in the top 20.
Yeah, it's an absolute farce.
I'm
going to
talk about that when we come back. Absolutely. You read my mind.
Michigan fellas.
We'll do that. Well, they should. Plus, don't forget, Monday Night Football tonight, Browns and Jets, brought to you by Twin Peaks, starts at 7:30, Monday Night Football. All right, the college football polls and more college football chit-chat. We haven't really scratched the surface on that yet. That's next.
239 says, sober as a gopher, that's the saying.
Nope.
No.
Never heard of that.
Not
sober as a judge is the main one I've heard of.
Last gopher I saw was on Caddyshack.
I say goat.
Greatest of all time. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. This is a little heavy for you. Who is this?
P.O.D.
P.O. what?
D.
What does that stand for, P.O.D.?
Delta.
What's the P and the O stand for?
Come on.
Like ticked off?
No.
P.O.'d?
Don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what it stands for. It's POD.
POD. I never heard of them. Let's go on. That's
Pod.
Fine. That's fine.
What does
Pod?
I don't know.
In other news, don't forget.
What does ACDC stand for? No, it's the
perfect.
What does ACDC
alternating say? Current, direct current.
Yeah, there you go. It's like an electrical thing.
Exactly.
The holes, Jerry, the holes. So we're playing poker tomorrow night. Tomorrow's the third Tuesday of the month. That means Pete and I head on down after the show to the Greyhound track. I almost said golf. We're going to go down to the track on Bonita Beach Road there, and you're all invited to join us at 7 o'clock. Bounties on both of us, $100 if you knock us out. So come by and see us tomorrow.
POD a Christian band?
What a tournament I was in last night.
I didn't know that.
I got to tell you. $5 buy-in. Started at 4:30, but it's 15-minute blind, so I didn't get into it. I didn't get home until 5:30.
Yeah.
Didn't get done.
A.M.?
In the afternoon. Get done until midnight. 813 players, finished 15th. Pretty proud.
Payable on death.
They're a Christian band?
I guess so. To me.
The lyrics?
That sounded like some serious heavy metal there that I didn't know where the lyrics were going, but we never really get to that point on the show because we
payable
just
on death.
Jesus can rock out.
Yes, he can. Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. All right. Very good.
All right.
Anyway. Oh, we got the AP poll out for college football?
Yep.
Central Florida?
No change at the top. Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, top three. LSU, your top four. Oklahoma at 5, Ohio State and Notre Dame. Why? 8, Auburn. 9, Florida. 10, Utah. Michigan fell a spot, even though they didn't play, to 11. Then 12 to 15, you got Texas at 12, then Wisconsin, Penn State. UCF moves up 2 spots to 15. Oregon fell a spot to 16. Texas A&M dropped a spot to 17. Iowa to 18. Tough loss. Oh, they're up a spot.
They barely beat Iowa State.
That's always a 1-2 point game.
That's
it always
a dandy.
Seems that way. 19 is Washington.
You know what I say?
Washington
throw the record
State.
Books.
Yeah, 20 Boise State, America's team. They're 3-0. They're up 2 spots, number 20, and the bottom 21-25. Virginia, after the fans stormed the field against a pathetic Florida State team, they go. They're 3-0. They're at 21. Washington at 22. Cal 23. Arizona State 24. TCU 25. Six teams in the top 25 for the Pac-12. Now,
that's crazy.
The biggest one is a Utah at number 10. But you got Utah in there. You got Washington State at 19. They deserve to be there. You have Washington at 22. They're up a spot. They're 2-1. Then you got Cal at 3-0. And Arizona State, which was just pathetic.
Cal. Versus
Michigan State.
Get out of here.
A horrible officiating in that game, too.
Yep.
That cost them that game.
I make a motion. Because Herm Edwards and Arizona State and Michigan have played a home and home. They played 2 years in a row. Michigan State. Two of the most god-awful, worst football games ever. They should never play again.
No.
Ever.
Should be outlawed.
Absolutely. That was atrocious.
But it certainly doesn't help the Pac-10's case. I mean, the Big Ten's case. And it won't help them. That hurts teams like Ohio State. That can hurt a conference, those kind of losses. When you start break, if things come down to the nitty-gritty, and there's that chaos that I like. And all of a sudden, you're looking at teams and you're looking at rankings and power conference versus power conference. That's the kind of thing that will come into play.
Speaking of your chaos theory, I have something for you, Pete Trevor, because I know that you want expansion
for the college football playoff. Washington's ranked ahead of Cal.
Yeah.
Cal beat Washington 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Makes no sense.
I got no sense.
If you've seen them play, just flip-flop them.
Yep.
For Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Not you, Pete.
Yeah,
that other Pete's sake. Where did that saying come from? Google that. So,
I'm thinking about St. Pete.
I know you want expansion.
We all do.
No, we all don't. Some of us are good with four.
Me and Tim Brando are the voice of the planet.
Well, I know you want to let everybody in.
No.
You want like a 64-team.
Eight. Oh, I would do that.
College football playoff.
I would do 64 teams every decade, but I would do every eight. We need 8 teams.
I have good news for you.
It originated as a substitute for Christ's sake,
which is taking the Lord's name in vain. So they go with St. Peter and take my
name in vain.
Yeah, and other similar expressions, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, for Pete's sake, came into use more than a century ago and prompted similar sayings such as For the Love of Pete in 1906, and In the Name of Pete,
yeah,
circa 1942.
For the Love of Pete!
For the Love of Pete.
All right, now.
The body of Pete compels you.
Now, here's here's your good news, Pete Shepard.
Yeah.
We are having an expansion of the playoffs. You know how? It's this weekend. We got ourselves a quarterfinal game.
Oh, here
Love
we go.
It.
Georgia, oh, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It's a half quarterfinal game.
That is a playoff game.
Halfway.
That's why we don't need more teams in January. We've got it right now. It's called the regular season,
Craig,
for Pete's sake.
Once again, I will remind you for my sake that you got so lucky last year. I will bring it up over and over again because it fits my argument to a T. If Kirby Smart does not go for that fake punt, there is absolute, to quote you, bedlam. Bedlam!
And Jalen Hurts. It would have been. There was a lot that had to go into
there
that.
There would have been bedlam. And you would respect my opinion.
And we're
even
not talking
more.
OU, but now, Oklahoma State.
Big 12 football all of a sudden, huh?
It would have been chaos. It would have been wonderful for the show.
Well,
wonderful for you and I personally.
I'm sorry, but this is an elimination game for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, it's an elimination game. If Georgia loses this game, we can go ahead and put Notre Dame into the Final Four, but a one-loss Georgia team that goes on to win the SEC championship is also going to get in.
Well, let's not forget, Notre Dame starts to play Michigan, too.
I don't know if that's a threat.
Well,
anymore.
I'm just saying it's there.
I really don't.
It's, Michigan needs to worry about getting out of Camp Randall with a zero in the L column.
Yeah,
and Wisconsin right now is only favored by 3, but, man, that line seems way off. On the other hand,
so Vegas thinks that's a pick'em? That's what that means,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what that means.
Vegas, I'm a Michigan fan. I've been touting them for 3 years here. I don't feel good about that game being a pick'em. That's got blow. I have a very bad feeling.
What has Michigan shown they don't know how to do? Stop the run. What do we know Wisconsin's going to do really well? Stop the run.
Chris, their offense yards per play is worse than last year's offense that they tried to replace by bringing in an Alabama guy.
And you got Shea Patterson in, who's fumbling the ball. Doesn't look good. They're talking about Dylan McCaffrey coming in for some plays. By the way, Notre Dame after Georgia has host Virginia. They're at Georgia. Host Virginia. Trust me, that could be as tough a game. Mm. Virginia's a good team. That could be as tough a game. And that's a difficult, in Notre Dame at home, especially if they do beat Georgia, which I don't think they will, but if they do, you know, if they lose Virginia, to lose to Virginia next week, then all bets are off again.
Speaking of Virginia, who, as you mentioned, beat Florida State, there is a 4-year-old Florida State fan that sold lemonade this weekend in order to buy out Willie Taggart's contract.
$17 million.
$17 million left. Let's see. They raised $241. They sold it. Was it $20 a drink?
$20 for a glass of lemonade.
And that was
good for that kid.
With nothing in it. No
Are
shots.
You sure?
Well, the 4-year-old kid selling it. I don't know.
Grey Goose vodka in it? Was it in a gold glass?
So they raised $241, including $100 from one person, and the kid's dad doubled it. So a check for $482 went to the Seminoles Boosters Club to put toward the firing and the buying out of Willie Taggart.
Well, and I thought you were going to go here, but kudos to the Georgia Bulldogs fans for having their pink out Saturday.
That was cool. That was nice.
Arkansas
State's head coach just lost his wife. What, a month ago?
Yeah.
To breast cancer?
Yeah.
And they had a cool pink out in the stadium. That was a pretty cool moment. And it made Georgia and Arkansas State compelling for a minute.
Yeah it did.
It's a very unforgettable
minute. But it did. I mean, Wisconsin right now is favored by 3. See, and in this certain game, like I said, I really thought that the odds makers, they don't blow it a lot. But when they blow it, they blow it. They blew it in the Indiana game, which was why Ohio State to me was just, that's a no-brainer. You jump all over that. Same thing with Oklahoma at UCLA. That team is so pathetic, meaning UCLA.
Oh, it's so bad.
They could have scored 100 points.
First play from scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
Jalen Hurts runs right up the middle for like 55 yards.
I got this.
And they threw up a stat today, this morning on SportsCenter, kind of what he's done versus what Kyler and Baker did through their first 3 games.
Yeah. No, he's got a better
passer rating. Yeah. He's passed for more yards. He's accounted for more rushing yards.
I'm telling you.
He's accounted for more total touchdowns.
It's tank for Jalen.
He's winning the Heisman this year. We all need to come to grips with that one.
Trevor Lawrence may have something to say about that when it's all said, but
yeah,
I think
he needs to stop throwing
two more interceptions this weekend.
I know, but it was like,
stop throwing picks, Trevor.
You know, voters like to wait till it's your turn. They go, all right, it's Jalen's turn now. We'll give Trevor his next year. Did you see the end of the BYU Southern Cal game?
Yeah, another one.
I mean, if there wasn't a nail in the coffin. Now, do you mind them storming the field?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to be consistent
yes.
here.
You know, I mean, they had the comeback win against Tennessee. You know, and there were more BYU fans there, it seemed, than Tennessee fans.
Well, by the end.
At that game, but.
So Clay Helton, that felt like the last nail in the coffin, didn't it?
Well, I think the last nail in the coffin was when Lynn Swann retired. Normally when an AD comes in, they want to put their own football coach in place.
So 24/7 put out a thing. All right, who are the top five candidates to be the Southern Cal coach next year? Would you like to hear them?
I'd like to hear
Lane Kiffin one of those?
No.
I bet it's an NFL person.
I don't know.
Number five I found to be the most intriguing one on the list. Number five, Mark Richt.
Really?
Oh, he doesn't work in Southern Cal.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that works.
Why would he want it? He's got a cushy job now.
I don't think he wants it. No.
SEC Network.
Number four on the list, Graham Harrell. I know you don't know who he is. He's the offensive coordinator of Southern Cal right now.
Yeah.
If you're going to fire Clay Helton, why are you going to keep his offensive coordinator? James Franklin at number three. There's no way he's leaving Penn State. If you've got Penn State rolling, making everybody forget about Joe Pa. Why would you leave that job and go to Southern Cal? Penn State could pay him.
Oh, I know, but
there's always money.
I think he can get same amount.
And USC's a private school. I don't even know if they'd have the money that Penn State would have at their disposal. But when you've got Penn State rolling, you've still got to compete with Ohio State and Michigan just on your side of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
When you've got USC rolling, there's nothing stopping you out west.
Well, Bill O'Brien tried to bolt, and then he got an NFL job out of it. All right, number two on the list, Bob Stoops. There's some rumblings that he may be interested in getting back in.
Yep.
He's currently the GM of the XFL Dallas franchise.
Because he's not missed anymore. All those people in Norman, Oklahoma were like, Bob, who?
Yeah.
No, Lincoln. He's the better coach.
Yeah.
And number one on the list from 24/7 was Urban Meyer, who I contend is just biding his time till the Notre Dame job opens up. Southern Cal?
I think
that makes a lot of sense.
Huge impact.
I know Reggie Bush was talking about it like a month ago.
Because they'll start paying players.
Who does he work with every Saturday morning?
Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart.
It'll be another shady program, and they'll...
But they
will be instant credibility. Instant if he's healthy enough. Is he healthy? From a talk show host standpoint, I would love to see that.
Chip Kelly supposed to give UCLA instant credibility? He has failed in that.
UCLA, like before Chip Kelly, when was the last time UCLA was close to relevant?
No, when Troy Aikman was
not
there.
In my lifetime.
Bob Toledo in 1999.
Yeah. It never happened in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, you go and recruit the kid. If you get to USC, you go and recruit five stars across the country. Yeah. They remember Reggie Bush.
And let's not forget, California has the second most players in, you know, besides Florida. I mean, there's a ton of great football out there, high school football. It just doesn't stay there anymore, those two schools. So I think he goes out there. He will find a way, by hook or by crook, more the latter. He'll get it done. He will get it done if he's healthy.
Yeah. All right, coming up in an hour, we've got Wikipedia, Stump Pete Shepherd for prizes.
What's the genre today?
It's all over the map today.
It's 1970 trivia.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The year 1970?
The year 1970.
The year 1970?
The year 1970.
All right, I was three, but I can handle it.
All right.
A lot of good nuggets in here, people.
I love nuggets.
Some stuff I learned, some stuff I don't still believe that it's true.
Really?
But we're gonna uncrack that nut together, everybody.
All right.
All right, it's brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. There was an OJ this weekend. It's not even worth playing.
It was like 10 seconds.
It was like Dolphins fans should get a rebate on their tickets. I'm just saying. Hello, Twitter world. Take care, Twitter world. Then he was back to his little clubhouse thing. So we won't do that coming up next. But don't forget, Wikipedia in 1 hour. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Many times during the week at this time of the show, we like to play you audio from O.J. Simpson and Twitter. I told you going on the break, he did do a Twitter hit. It was 10 seconds. It's not worth playing. It's Dolphins fans, you should get a rebate. I'm just saying, haha. However, there's another interesting piece of audio out there, and it's somebody we haven't talked about in a while. Remember the frustration when we were talking about that goofball LeVar Ball?
Yeah.
Alonzo? It was like, when is Alonzo going to be a man and tell his dad he's nuts and get back in his face and push back because you're ruining our lives?
Which he did sort of do about 10 days ago, right, with the shoes that he said. Remember, he admitted he went to, 12 pairs in one game? Yeah. Was that it?
He said he'd show up with a new pair of shoes for each quarter because they'd explode.
Yeah.
They've been fighting over the Big Baller brand, and one of the partners embezzled money from them, and it was just utter chaos. Mm-hmm. So this is a clip from Ball and the Family, a reality TV show that none of you waste your time watching.
It's a Facebook show, right?
Yes.
They do.
So they're in a little boardroom. It's LeVar Ball. It's Lonzo Ball. It looks like maybe a lawyer friend and a couple other people in the room. I believe there's some S's and F's bleeped out.
It's bleeped.
There was a GD in there. I don't know if it got bleeped out or not.
Yeah.
I don't want to offend anybody. But anyway, let's play it. Here it is. And because LeVar and Lonzo are steely-eyed against each other, there's some friction here. Let's take a listen.
Would you change the name?
Hell no. I wouldn't change the name.
I'm just saying from a marketing standpoint.
From a marketing standpoint, regardless of what it is.
I'm just saying. That's my opinion. I'm just asking a question.
I'm just saying. Triple B is always going to be the man. On the fact that it also stands for the three Ball brothers. I'm not changing that at all.
What's your opinion on that, John?
I don't give a about his opinion.
I just want
to
hear.
But no. Listen to me, son. When I come out with a name and then somebody tell me to change it, that's like me telling me to change your name. That's like people saying, oh, Fred, hey, change Lonzo's name to Alfonso on the fact that he'd been damaged goods for the last 2 years.
Whoa, oh, snap.
Wow.
Is that all of it, or is the sick beat? Right,
the brand is not demolished. That's how you feel the brand is demolished.
That's everybody feels.
Who? Who's everybody?
The world.
The world? That's the consumers you talk to?
Yeah. That's all messed up right now.
Why is it messed up? Because one person did something bad?
What? He was the main person.
He wasn't the main person.
He ran everything.
Dang, he didn't run everything.
That's
who
the one, thing. That's
who the one signing autographs? Who the one taking the pictures?
You set it all up.
That means you're running everything as far
as
what? Who's the Big Baller brand?
All right, you got it.
Ain't no Alan Foster gear. The Big Baller. Here's the thing. If you have a goddamn tree and a bad apple falls off the tree, you don't chop the goddamn tree down.
He was more than apple, though. He was a branch.
Cut the branch. You don't cut the whole tree down.
The tree did fall down.
How did the tree fall down?
Why are we restarting everything?
How did the tree fall down? I created it before Alan even got here. I said the three Ball brothers for you guys. I don't care who helped me get this started, but I come in with the vision like, you know what? We're going to have our own right here. That's why I didn't go everybody else's way.
All right, you got it.
Not everybody got it.
You got it, man.
First of all, don't say you got it, man, to me. You're the one got to make it grow. I made you guys superstars for a reason. If I don't do the things that I'm doing, Zell, it's just another regular old player.
Oh, what a D-bag.
I made you guys superstars for a reason?
Wow. I made you and I can break you. It's actually something like a PSA. Like a PSA for Arbor Day.
Without me, you're just a regular old player.
Woo.
And I would, if I'm Alonzo, I would have said, really, Pops?
I'd have walked out of that room.
How far is your brand going to go without me?
You pimped me out for my entire life.
And ruined my two brothers' career, by the way.
And ruined our family. I would have got up and said, see ya. Wow. Good riddance. And it's only a matter of time. We predicted this 2 years ago. He would destroy that family.
All right. I wanted to squeeze that in. Now we're way late. That's okay. We'll be right back. Sheeman to Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.